Welcome to this Tuesday's Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. You are about to tune into a message from the Flow Revival Service. In life, any kind of promotion or elevation can lead a novice to pride. A novice is unable to see the mysterious principles that made his predecessor survive, overcome, and do well. On the contrary, people who are not novices have a more humble, lowly, and less presumptuous approach. Today, Bishop Dag will teach you about people from the Bible who were not novices for you to learn by their example. In today's teaching, Bishop Dag will also encourage you on the importance of escaping pride and a self-inflation of your own importance and standing in life and ministry. After today's teaching, you will overcome the problem of being a novice through the wisdom from the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Father, thanks for the blessing you give to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Rock Cathedral, Amia just 16. Wow, that was beautiful from Jamaica. Jamaica, Amia just 16. Yes. Pick up yourself. Wow. That is a blessing. Not a novice. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse number 6. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we want to read from verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Now, love is patient, or charity suffereth long. Okay? And is not jealous, and is not boastful, and is not proud. Right? So, maturity, you'll find in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you read from verse 1, you see seven steps to maturity. And in those seven steps, you find yourself ending in the most mature of all, which is the step of love. All those steps before lead to the maturity of love. Now, the definition of love is as positive as it's negative. Like, you define it by describing what it is and also define it by describing what it is not. All right? So it starts by saying love is patient, love is kind. Then it says love does not vaunt itself. All right? And you see that is not boast. Does not boast. Which talks about a self-display. Why would you display yourself unless you feel you have something to show? All right? And then it's not puffed up, or one of the other versions says having a swollen head. Message Bible says love doesn't strut and doesn't have a swelled head. Now, the word puff is bigness out of air for nothing. All right. Now, pride, which is the problem of a novice, is overconfidence for nothing. All right? And overconfidence about things which you cannot do anything about. All right? It's overconfidence about something that you need not have overconfidence about. All right? Are you listening to me? Yes. So, you find you find out that the novice is thinking about the wrong things, and that makes him very confident. Do you see? That makes him very confident, and that makes him think in the wrong way about everything. But a person who is not a novice is aware of other factors. You get it? Is aware of other factors which are also true, and therefore reduces your level of overconfidence, confidence in the wrong things. Are you listening to me? Yeah. So when you are a novice, you just know the scripture and you feel you are head of state. Okay? Or you just were appointed as a pastor and then you feel that you've arrived. Do you see? But a person who stays around long enough will discover that there is more to it. So people who are not novices, they speak differently from people who are novices. Do you get it? Is it easy to understand? Yeah. So one of the ways you see a novice is from the things he talks, what he says, and what he expects. You see? So when you take a novice, he says, not less being lifted up with pride, he falls in the same way the condemnation that the devil fell, which is overconfidence about nothing, but few steps, few signals make him super confident. So, for instance, you lay hands on people and they fall down. I say, I'm a man of God. Wow. Or you have a chance to preach and people clap. Or you preach a message and people buy your tapes. And you find out that more people buy your tapes than have ever been bought before. Yes. One day I went to a church and the richest man in the church sent a message to me that this is the best message that he has ever heard. But somebody came to whisper to me on the side. And I said, I discarded it. Because, I mean, he's in a church. How can this be the best message? Then I was there when the pastor, another person brought the same message again. I think the man was insistent that it was the best message. So he kept on trying to tell people. But then, unfortunately, he told the pastor himself, who was with me, that this is the best message he has ever heard, including the pastor's messages. Like, he emphasized that. Do you see? Yes. Now, if you are a novice, you may be lifted up in pride by such a message. You may even think that the man who was a multimillionaire, which meant that he was worth more than $500 million. He was worth about 800 million towards a billion. Like, he was a senior millionaire among the millionaires. Junior millionaires are like 10 million, 6 million. Yes. Are you there? So, if I was a novice, I could have even thought that, oh, this man is going to support my ministry. I may have even thought that God has raised up a supporter. God has given me a financier. You get what I'm saying? Yes. Or I may have even been thinking that I need to contact the guy. Because maybe I can, I may have even thought that, I should start a church. Because I've got somebody, he has seen that my message is better than even his pastor's message and all the messages he has ever heard. Or I may have even felt that I need to now move into that city to start a church. I'm just saying that these are all thoughts that come to novices. They get inflated and they move into what these two descriptions of pride, they are puffed up, big for nothing. Do you see? And then number two, arrogant, another version says boastful, and the word in the Greek means self-display. Self-display. Are you there? Beautiful. So, what I'm saying is that when you are a novice, you will not know that the nature of man, that this man was not telling me that is the best message so that he will give me money. And he never gave me even $1. Even though it was the best message he has ever heard, including the message of his own pastor, and that he found at least 3 different people to pass the message to me. By the way, it was a message on Lazarus and hell, heaven and hell. Yeah. So when you are a novice, your mind doesn't work well. You get it? Your mind doesn't work well. And you tend to go towards inflation and self-display and puffing up for nothing. Are you there or you are leaving? Yeah. Things don't mean the same to you as it means to a novice. When you are a novice, anything you do or you experience can tell you that you are special when you are not special. When you are easily replaceable. When you are a novice. You get it? You feel very good about things that are nothing. You can be replaced overnight. Being around today doesn't mean being around tomorrow. Recently, I was talking to a brother whose wife died. And I asked him, how long was your wife sick for? He said, 5 weeks. She was totally healthy. He described the test that he did. Every test that can be done was done. And he was declared, and his wife, 100% well. And then she became sick. Suddenly, fever, 1, 2, not corona, no, years ago. And that there was no corona. And then 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, she was gone out of the world. To his amazement. So, when you are a novice and you go to the hospital and they do a lab test or a test, and we say, everything about you is good. Your urine is clear. Your feces are clear. Your blood is clear. Every part of you is clear. You have a clean bill for the next 25 years. Yes. You may not know, as a novice, you may not realize that There are other things that work. Other things. So I'm just saying that a novice is excited about, you know, certain things. But a person who's not a novice has another mind in his mind. And you see it all through the Bible in people who are not novices. Their mind about things is different. It's more humble. They have a more humble approach, a more lowly approach. A more lowly approach. A more careful approach. A less presumptuous approach to whatever there is. Yes. You see, when a girl is beautiful and boys are coming after you, you just, wow, I'm beautiful. But you see, when you are older, you will know that you are beautiful. Boys don't even need you to be beautiful for them to chase you. No. It's not because you are beautiful. Some have a list, a target. They are just doing target practice. It's because you are a female, not because you are beautiful. Yes. They want to have one in every hostel. Yeah, some people have a girlfriend in every hostel. Girlfriend in every region. Girlfriend all over the place. But when you are a novice, you become so impressed. So he's calling me. I look at him. I won't even mind him. I won't even mind. Oh, yeah. Okay. You can come today. And you feel great. But when you are not a novice, you realize that no. It's not because I'm beautiful. You like me. You have a need, a physiological need or a desire. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Or you have a problem. So I'm just trying to tell you that novices need to mature in the way of seeing things until you are seeing things through the right glasses. All right? So when you are a novice, you look at people's faults. If I'm preaching, right, and you don't even understand what I'm preaching, you may look at me and criticize me. You criticize me and you feel like, oh, you know, I can do this better. You know, I remember when Benny Hinn came to Ghana, I was sitting on stage and he was preaching. I mean, a thought came to my mind that, you know, I don't know whether the people understand what he's saying. That if I was preaching, I'm sure they would understand it better. Yes. But you see, there are people, even if you speak Dagbani, you get it. If you speak Dagbani, do you know Dagbani? It's a language. The crowd, and they don't know Spanish, Portuguese, nobody understands you. The stadium will be full with the Dagbani. And they'll preach in Dagbani without interpreter. And the stadium will still be full. And you will speak the language that people understand and there will be nobody there. And they will still come for the second day when they don't understand what you are saying. When you are not a novice, you know that what I'm saying is true. Yes. There are people who come and listen to the preaching in Chinese. And then nobody understands it and they will come back the next day. Because to a novice, everything means something different. But when you are not a novice, you have a more humble interpretation. One day I went to a Benny Hinn crusade. The whole stadium was full. He didn't come. He didn't come. I'm telling you. Not that somebody told you. No, he didn't come. Benny Hinn was the speaker. And the stadium was full. And he didn't come. And I was there. He just didn't come. He was in town. And his brother explained that he didn't feel like coming or something. He just came and gave some explanation. The next day, we were there. Four. Yes. Yes, you will not come. But because you are a novice, you don't know why people are. It's more than what you are thinking. We were there the next day, full up. Full up with people outside. It is when you are a novice that you speak in a certain way. When Ranald Bonnke was alive, there was a man, he used to have crusade, and the man who he had the crusade with, this man used to pray for the sick and Bonnke used to preach, but Bonnke did not pray for the sick. One day, the man decided to leave. And he told Bonnke that I'm leaving. And when he was going, he told somebody else at the workplace. It's in his book, biography, the big one. He wrote it. That's where I read it. He said, Bonnke is finished. When I leave, Bonnke is finished. No. Bonnke wasn't finished. That's why we know Bonnke today. This was many, many years ago. Eh? It wasn't finished at all by your presence or your absence. Yes, he was now starting his ministry. He was now going to become one of the greatest names in evangelism. But you thought he was finished. And it's because your novicehood makes you see yourself as something inflated. And you have a greater opinion of your effect and of what you are and the importance of you in the scheme of affairs. Sometimes you transfer people from branches and you hear some people say, if this pastor leaves, we are also leaving. Look at it. It's a novice. You have not been in the church for some time. One day I told a young lady, I said, are you now telling me how to run my church? You are a business person. Are you telling me how to run my church? I had not slept the whole night I was talking to her. Are you not telling me how to run a church? Your work is something. This is my work, to run a church. If I move this pastor from here to here, what are you going to say about it? If the person goes, we are going to know. We know this. Surely, the church is working. You have an inflated impression of yourself, your opinion, what you think will happen if you are there, if you are not there, or if you give or if you don't give. It's what we call puffed up. And it's a novice. You are not experienced with the church. The church members, when they are going, they don't even say bye-bye. If you don't know, I'm telling you. When they are traveling, they don't even tell you we are traveling. When they are leaving, they don't even tell you that they are leaving. They just go. They transfer themselves without notice. It is our pastor goes, no, we are going to leave the church. And this and that. If you do this, why are you taking our pastor? And why are you doing it? You are a novice. Yes. But when you are experienced, you know that. You see, that's where you even know that the ministry is not even that particular person. But it's a grace that we are all enjoying. Yes. It's a grace that we are all enjoying. It's a grace that we are all enjoying. Yeah. So being a novice is about being proud. It's about being big. You think, if I don't do this, it's finished. It's not finished. It's not finished. Which part will be finished? Which part will be finished without you? Which part will be finished without you? Jesus, the head of the church. Yes. So, having a lower understanding of yourself, of what effect even things are and how human beings behave. You see, when you are a novice, you have also a mind of perfection. But later on, you grow up and they'll tell you it's a human institution. There's failure. There's failure in the church as well. One day a pastor was, his wife was going to leave him. And by the way, divorce is not the sin unto death. The sin unto death is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, not divorce. And Jesus said, anyone who, except for the sake of adultery, for the sake of adultery, you can divorce. And the brothers, at least, I know about brothers, have looked on a woman to lust after her. And according to Jesus, you have already committed. You have already given reason for separation. Right there. A strong case. Unless you don't believe the words of Jesus. Anyway, this lady, she was a wife of a pastor with 30,000 members. 30,000. And she was leaving her husband. Her husband told me, he said, I begged her, don't leave. My son begged her, Mama, don't leave. She said, I'll leave. But before I leave, settle me, because I know when I leave, you are finished. You are what?
Finished.
You see, you have an inflated impression of your presence and what your presence will do. She did not listen. She left. And the 30,000 became about 60,000. Yes? Yeah. In the end, the pastor had to now send money secretly to look after his wife because she became so poor. She didn't even know who was giving him the money. Giving her the money. It was her own husband. Being a novice makes you have an inflated impression of your importance or your worth. There are people who think they can destroy a man of God with their words. I'll finish you. I'll destroy you. I'll bring you down. It's up to you. We see. I've had people who told me, you can't stay in this city. I'll run you out. Yes. Yes. I'll run you out. I said, okay. I've had people say, this man, I'll finish him. But the Bible said, they that are incensed against thee shall perish. Are you listening?
Yes.
So, by the time God matures you, you will know that you can never destroy anybody whom God has not destroyed. You can never finish anything God has not finished. You cannot kill anything God has not killed. You know that you are replaceable. You know that human beings are low, including yourself, including everybody. You have a cooler impression about everything. Yes. Because you've been mellowed and matured. Like I told you, 7 steps to maturity, ending in love. Are you there?
Yes.
Beautiful. So, number one, the first person who I want to just mention a few people, I want you to hear them talking, and you see that these are not novices. It's just a short Bible study. Genesis 47. Genesis 47. And that is no other than good old Jacob. All right? And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. All right? Are you there? And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? How old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. And I have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Amen. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. Now, this is the first experienced man talking. And you notice, when they asked him, how old are you? He said, only 130. I'm only 130 years old, baby. You get it? Yeah. And notice his comment. Comment number one, few. You see, when you are not experienced, you think there's plenty time. Some years ago, I didn't know anybody who has cancer. Now I know several people who have cancer. At my age, I know a number of people who have cancer. But years ago, I didn't know anybody. Some years ago, I didn't know anybody who was dead. Now I know many people who are dead. So quickly, it passes. And soon it's gone. Phil, you wouldn't believe it. How short an experienced and a humble person knows that it's going to be short. It's going to be very short. And it's going to be over. Few and evil. Evil. Experience is speaking. I'm only 130. I'm a baby. You know, one day I was with some pastors. I think Pastor Prince and others from Malaysia. And somebody asked me, how old are you? And I said, I'm 50, whatever. He said, you are a baby. What is it? I'm a chicken. I'm a chicken. I'm a baby. It's like 50. I think they were all like 70 something. Is it not amazing? Yeah. When you are experienced in life and in God, you believe it. Billy Graham said, what is the greatest surprise of his life is the brevity of life, the shortness, brief. Brevity means brief. Soon it's gone. That is why it's difficult. When you've lost a chance, it's difficult to restart. Because like you don't get those chances again. You know, when I look back on my life, even all the seasons of the ministry, times we went collegono, times I used to preach every Tuesday, times I used to come to church on Thursdays and go around ministries. We had ministries upstairs in the balconies, downstairs on the floors, spread out, and then we grew, and we were on the other side of the road as well. Ministry meetings, I was there every Thursday. I was calling my shepherds and finding out where everybody is. Are you not coming for the shepherds' meetings? Wow. It was a season. How soon it vanished. I used to preach every Tuesday about the prodigal son and many messages. Yeah. I used to preach every Sunday at the canteen. How quickly it passed. I used to preach on Sundays. I wear my suit and come preaching. Yeah. Then I started to have evening services. No, evening services. Like, I used to preach about the songs of Solomon. My beloved something. Loving and yearning. A time of love. Time for love. I don't know what those services were called. Impartation service? Nothing called impartation service. Yes, I had shepherd services. I had leadership. I had builder services. I had soul winner services. I had overcomers. Unquenchable fire was at the Kodesh. So quickly, then I started to have miracle waves. You can't remember even the things. I remember the first miracle waves. Then I started to have miracle services and I would travel around to Ho, to different places in the evenings. Tema. Metro churches. I used to visit metro churches. I've preached in so many churches. Mataheko, preach here, preach there, preach different places. Yeah. I used to go around. And I used to have takeoff programs in the universities. Takeoff in Cape Coast. Takeoff here, takeoff. It was called takeoff. Wow. And they said, what is takeoff? We advertised by writing in chalk everywhere. We wrote behind the toilet doors. We advertised the program. When we go to the toilet and you sit down, you read it. You read the advert. Publicity. Sit and read. Amazing. Yes. I used to go for conventions, miracle conventions, Takoradi, Kumasi. I used to travel to preach in conventions in Tamale, different places, just the church. Sword cutting, shepherd's camps. I started to have shepherd's camps in London, shepherd's camps in Ghana, Kumasi, Accra, Lagos, N2 departments at the Great Hall. Many places I had shepherd's camps. I had synods. We all wore our suits. And we gave presented reports of the church. We had a, what do we call, jury trial. Yeah, the jury trial. We started with the jury testing the shepherds. Yes. And then we had shuffling conferences. We said it was called shuffling because we were going to shuffle the pastors. And the pastors were going to be shuffled. You go here, you go here, you go here. We are still shuffling, but it's not called shuffling conference. Titus in Crete conferences. Titus in Crete means that I sent you Titus to be in Crete to set in things that are order. So Titus was sent into the church to set things in order. So Titus in Crete. Is it not true? Yes. Many things. So, through the years, you'll find out that the years are few and evil. If I look back, I think more of the evil than of the good. Do you see? That's why I'm struggling to remember. Because the evil are not what I've not said them. What have I been through? What have I survived? Any program I remember the evil that was happening to me at that time and what I was overcoming or fighting. Because usually I'm fighting something. When a goat is sweating, you cannot easily see that he's sweating. Are you listening? Yes. So Jacob, all right, is someone who starts to see. And this is how people who are experienced see things. So today, I want to speak to everybody. If God wants to use you, remember that your days are few. And you are going to have a very short time to do something that you want to do. If you're going to do anything, it's going to be short. I know that you can't easily believe it. And that's why when people say, oh, I'll finish this and I'll do this and I'll do that. And when I finish this and when I finish that, by the time you finish, you are so tired. You know, sometimes when I look at some of the people that are in First Love Church, when we first started, like let's say Cadela, who's sitting right here in front of me, she was a little baby, skinny little baby, running around, distributing, talking to the converts, talking to the converts when I first went to start the First Love Church. And I said, I would ask, what is her name? Because I always forgot her name. So I would secretly ask behind, what is her name? And they say, Cadell, I've not heard that name before. Amazing. It passes so quickly. And soon it's gone. Yes. Few. You think it to be plenty. It's because you are novice. But when you are experienced, you know that your time is short. And it will be even shorter still than you can imagine. Because not everybody who is listening to me will reach 70, even though we all pray for it. Which means it's even shorter. When people die at the age of 42, when people die at the age of 43, when people die at 35, when people die at different ages, they never knew that it was even shorter than they even thought. And evil. Yeah. You know, that is why we sing a lot of songs and pray for it and declare it. We're going to have a good life as we serve the Lord together. Huh? It will be well with us. You see, we need to say it all. Because what is in the world, you have no idea. Let's move on quickly before we get stuck. Israel. Genesis 48. Genesis 48. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz and blessed me and said, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed for an everlasting possession. Now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. So he took possession. You see, people, when you do, who are the 12 tribes of Israel? You have Manasseh and Ephraim, not Joseph. You don't have the tribe of Joseph. You have Manasseh and you have Ephraim because he took the two. And so Joseph had a double portion. Do you understand? Yes. So many times you hear Ephraim. Ephraim in the Bible is the tribe, one of these tribes. They shall be mine. And thine issue which thou begettest after them, they shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. So the grandfather possessed these two children, the first two. All right? Then he said, as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan, in the way, when there was yet a little way to come unto Ephrath, and I buried her there in the way of Ephrath. The same is Bethlehem. And when you go to Israel today, there's a special place for where Rachel died and was buried. You can visit it. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons, whom God has given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Are you watching Experience? I want you to watch Experience and listen. Okay? Experience is about to speak. Wow. Now the eyes, all right, of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face. And lo, God has showed me also thy seed. Whenever I read this verse, I get goose pimples. He said, I had not thought to see thy face, but God has also showed me thy seed. Whatever you had not thought you would see, may God show you more than that in your life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Now Joseph brought them out from beneath, between his knees, and bowed himself with his face to the ground. Beautiful. So they were down there, small boys. Okay? And Joseph took them, Ephraim in his right hand, towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand, towards Israel's right hand. So Manasseh was here, and Ephraim was here. So when Manasseh moves this way, he's going to meet Israel's left hand. So he's going to bless him with the left. He's going to bless Ephraim on this side, on the left. And he's going to bless Manasseh on the right. Are you watching?
Yeah.
And Israel stretched his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head. So he switched it. And who was the younger? And his left hand, he put it on Manasseh, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. So I think he knew what was coming. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, from whom before my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me, which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named upon them, the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. My God. Kashotabala. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. He said, no, it's the wrong head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand on his head. And his father refused. You see, a novice was speaking and an experienced man was also counteracting what he was saying. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son. I know it. He shall also become a people. And he shall also be great. But truly, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, indeed shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Kaloba, are you feeling the power of the words? Yes. He set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said to Joseph, behold, I die. Behold, I die. You see, it takes a certain level to speak that. Behold, I die. But God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. Wow. What a blessing. Are you excited by the scriptures? Yes. You see, a novice feels that by age, by who is first, that is how things will work. But when you are experienced, your age will not make you too confident. You know that it's by the blessing that a person has and by the grace that a person has been given. It's not by age, how old a person is, that a person becomes something in God. Yes. Because Joseph was not happy at all that the firstborn was being set. And he said, and he set Ephraim before his brother. This setting was set by the hands and the words that were spoken. Listen to me, my friend. The qualifications that you have, as you are a novice, you may be thinking, oh, because of this, because of this, because of this. But many years ago, I heard a man rebuking some people, and he said, it's not by age, but by the grace of God and the gift of God that God has given. That is how things are determined. It's by the gift of God and the grace. Yeah. And experience lets you know that it's not by might, it's not by power, it's not by who is old, who is a man, who is a woman, who is from which country, but it's by what he has determined by the grace and the gift that he has given to you. When God has given you a gift and God has given you a grace, that is what is controlling things. Yes. And it's not all these human ideas about who is old, where do you come from, what are you, where is this from, who is this man, what is that? It's by the grace of God and by the gift of God. As the Bible says, a man's gift makes room for him. Not his age. Not who came first. Who is second. So if God endows somebody with a gift, he can be made to overtake you. And the hands laid. You see, Jacob knew what he was talking about. It's not too much activity. When I lay my hands on this one, and I lay my hands on this one, that's the end of the matter. He shall be a people, but this one will be greater. That's why when you read Hosea and the prophets, you hear Ephraim, 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 Ephraim more. You don't hear Manasseh, Manasseh, Manasseh. It takes a little to hear the name Manasseh. But all through the Bible, they even refer to Israel as Ephraim. The northern tribe, they are referred to as Ephraim, 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 Ephraim. You rarely hear Manasseh. It's determined. May your eyes be humble to see how it is that things happen. You see, lest being lifted up with pride, you fall into the condemnation of the devil. The same problem that the devil had. When the devil walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, in the midst of cherubims and seraphims, and the holy presence of God, he thought he was God. He thought he was God. You know, God's grace and God's gift is what determines. And it takes a person who is experienced, like in verse 21, when he said, behold, I die. I die. Huh? You know you have to go. No one can stay forever. A young person will not easily talk that way. You die from where? They say, God forbid. But a man of experience, he knows it's not forever. Are you listening? Beautiful. So a man of experience knows death is real and is coming. Are you there? Number three. We are going to end very soon. Genesis 25. A man of experience, Abraham. Genesis 25 and verse 1. Beautiful. Then Abraham took a wife. Her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, Shua. You see, none of these became anything. No, I hope you are seeing the effect of blessings. Oh. These are Abraham's children. Oh. The first question you see that is, when did polygamy become a sin? Because Abraham has taken another wife. Yes. And right there, you see, he gave birth to all these children. So many. More were coming. More. Huh? After the 100 years, he was ready. Ready at 100. And each one has to give birth, and then Zimran, Joksham, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. And Jokshan begat Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Ashurim and Letushim and Leumim. And the sons of Midian were Ephah and Epher and Hanok and Abida and Eldah. All these were the children of Keturah, Abraham's wife. So you see, the problem was with Sarah. Yeah, she couldn't have a child. Yes, when he changed the wife, he had, yes, 7 more. Hey! Are you watching the Bible? Oh, I shouldn't read the Bible. I can read another. I can read to you fairy tales, fables, Aesop's fables. You are better off with the Bible. Yes, 7 more. Now, verse 5. And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. Yes, he has given birth more children. You see, here again you learn inheritance. For those of you who don't have enough to give the same thing to everybody, fairness or equality in inheritance is not shown in the Bible. He said he gave everything to Isaac. Yes. Because that is one of the reasons why people don't make wills. Because they don't know how to divide their things. You have 4 children with 3 houses, or 3 children with 1 house. If you have a house at all, or 1 car, how do you divide it? Abraham didn't struggle at all. He was following what God had told him. He said, your wife Sarah will give birth to a child. Yes. And I will bless you. In that seed, you will be blessed. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah. Not Abraham, Ishbak, Zimran, Midan, and Shua. Yes. Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had. Now you see here that Abraham had more women. Unlisted ones. Unlisted concubines. Unlisted concubines. You know, one of the things you must not be afraid of is the truths in the Bible. Do you know this fearlessness in looking at the difference between yourself and the Bible is what led me to miracle ministry? When I look at my ministry, I say, look, I'm preaching the word. There's no miracle in my life. I've not seen anybody healed. Eye is healed. Blind can see. Deaf can hear. This and that. There's nothing like that in my life. And I say, when I look at myself, I say I'm a minister of the gospel. And this is what I'm seeing in the Bible. Then I fearlessly looked at it and accepted that there is a problem. Fearlessly looking at the mirror is not to destroy you, but is to make you see what is even wrong with you. Yes. Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. Now, to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward and to the east country. Experience. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived. 175. That's 175 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him, all right, in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron. The concubines' children, they didn't even come to the funeral. They didn't get much. I'm surprised that even Ishmael came, because Abraham gave everything that he had to Isaac. Now again, I just want you to see that a man of experience can see that there's going to be tension. Are you with me? Yes. And can see that things are going to work in a certain way. You may call the people and say, look, you are all one family. You're all what? One family. You're all brothers and sisters. You all have the same blood. But Abraham, a man of experience, he has been in the world and has seen many things. And he said, no. Go. Bye-bye. He gave them gifts. Here is 2 goats. Here is 3 sheep. Travel. He gave some. 2 sheep, goats, and so on. And everybody went away. And then he gave everything he had to Isaac. And then he died. Why? Because he respected God. And he knew what was in man. So a man of experience, he acts out a completely different way. And you even wonder, what is he doing? Like my father-in-law once said that, when a wise man is doing something, you may think he's mad. My father-in-law, a very old and wise man, he said, when a wise man is speaking, you may even think he's not normal. That's how wisdom is to most of us. When it's presented, it doesn't even. Why are you doing this? Why? But it's wisdom. Yes. So experience knows. Everything's not going to... He said, we say, everything's going to be all right. Everything's not going to be all right. Let these other guys go away. Everything's not going to be all right. Everything is not going to be all right. The will of God for Isaac is not going to happen if you, like, sit on it. Beautiful. Are you still there? Yes. Amen. Genesis 27. Genesis 27. Isaac, not a novice. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and has taken away thy blessing. And he said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these 2 times. He took away my birthright, and now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given unto him for servants. Mercy. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. What shall I do now unto thee, my son. Mercy. Again, a man of experience is speaking, and a man of experience knows that it is the blessing that counts. And I want you as people, you know, fearing God is the difference between a novice and not a novice. A novice thinks that it is by might and by strength. But Isaac, in the last day, he was now blind. He said, I've sustained him. And he sustained. Is anything working in your life is because of a blessing? Did you hear me? I'm closing with this statement. Is anything working in your life is a blessing? He said, I've made you and your brothers his servants. I've made him your Lord. I've sustained him. What shall I do for you now? It's finished. He has the blessing. May you have respect for the blessing of God and live your life looking for blessings. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen? Just look for blessings. Just choose to be blessed. Remember the words. They are powerful words. You know, sometimes when I see people doing certain things, I just look at them. Because it's not everything that a man says that is going to come to pass. But there are some days you can sense the power of God. And you can sense that the words you are saying, they will happen. Yes. Sometimes it's casual. But sometimes you can sense there's power. And say that this thing I've said is going to happen. When I see people trying to destroy the church, my mind goes back to a day I was standing on the canteen pulpit. And I lifted my hand and I speak over the church. And I said, cursed is the one who spoils the church and who come to break the church that we are building. I remember, if you have patience to read, to listen, you hear it and you see that since then, there is a curse on anyone who tries to spoil this church. Yes. And you see, a novice would think that, oh, don't mind it, it's nothing. But you see, an experienced person like Isaac, who was already blind, said, I've made him your master. It will happen. I've made him your master. You are his servant now. Me, his servant. You are his servant. You are his servant. It's too late. I've made him your master. It's the same experience that Jacob had when he was speaking over the sun. He said, no, it's not by who came first. It's by the blessing that I've spoken. I feel the younger will be better than the older. What would you say? He said, I've sustained him with corn and water. He said, the God which fed me up till today. Machula abeka palamoda samba. My God who fed me up till today. Bless thee. Oh, yes. So you learn from experience, from humility. You know that it's not by anything, but by his grace and his power and his blessing. Yeah. But when you are a novice, you think, oh, I'll do this and do this, principles of this, principle of what? You'll find out with time that the words that have been spoken, the blessings that have been spoken, and the curses that have been spoken is what is governing the world. That's why when God changes everything, he said that there shall be no more curse. So whatever you do, I know people don't fear God. That's why they eat their tithes. They don't fear God. Never think you are doing something for somebody. Never think you are doing something to bring down someone. No, not the anointed. The anointed, no. Always help the anointed. 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 Remember what we read in Rejoiner's book. Help the anointed. Don't strike down the anointed. It only brings you down. That's why he said, I've made him your Lord. He will be your Lord. You will be his servant. I've sustained him. All circumstances will lead to corn and wine. That's Zuckerberg, a Jew, Facebook. Owner of Facebook, WhatsApp, and what? Instagram. All. Yeah, that's a Zuckerberg, Jew. That's Goldman Sachs. That's Warner Brothers. That's all those things. And that's Steven Spielberg. That's 40% of all billionaires. I sustained him with corn, with oil, with wine. I've sustained him. You can work, but I've sustained him. Holocaust even couldn't wipe it out. 6 million of them, you slaughter and slaughter, but I've sustained him. It will fight back for him. You see, when you are blessed, you fight back. When you see the Jews wearing their winter coats, they kill them in the winter. You see them wearing their winter coats with their bags. They were slaughtering them from Hungary, from France, from everywhere, in their coats. They came, gentlemen and ladies, families, whole families with their winter coat, very cold. They came like this. They slaughtered all of them. But he said, I sustain him with corn, with wine, with oil. Yes. And the people, those that hate you, cursed is he that cursed you. That's why God always put on my heart, do something for Israel. That's why I always try to do something for Israel. When Kwame Nkrumah died, there was a German man here in Ghana, a doctor, one of these people who was involved in killing Jews. As soon as Kwame Nkrumah went off, they came for him. They came for him from Ghana. Oh, yes. They know it everywhere. They follow them everywhere. You kill us. That's why today they have the wildest security agency. Yeah. I've sustained him. Sustained means that it's maintained. It's maintained. Your slaughters and your slaughtering and your talking and your things is not what determines. The meetings you have was not what determines it. Adolf Hitler. You know why you don't see Hitler's name on all the murder charges? Because when Hitler first came, he decided to kill all mental patients. And he killed all mental patients and gypsies. And he signed it himself. There was a big outcry. After that, he didn't sign. But he made the other sign. Slaughter them. But God said, he said, I've sustained him with a blessing. May a good hand be laid on your head. Amen. May a good hand and may a good word be spoken over you, over your children. And may it come to pass. And may that word carry you through the slaughter and through the fire and through everything that appeareth as a curse. May you come out of it shining, sustained, and made the Lord of your brethren. Whatever has determined to eliminate you, may the fire and the supernatural power and lightnings of God strike through the heart of the enemy, be sustained and prevail in the ministry, in the call of God, succeed and overcome and overturn all ploys and plots and plans of the enemy against your life and your soul. You are sustained. You are sustained in ministry. You are sustained in God. You are sustained in his house. You are sustained in his work. Though a multitude and a host may come against you, the Lord is your rock and your salvation. You shall prevail. They that are incensed against you shall perish. And they that plan and plot against you and conspire to destroy you shall be destroyed. Thou shalt seek them and thou shalt not find them. The blessing of the Lord It raises you above your brother. It sustains you above those who were there before you. It's caused by the hand of God. May experience enter into your heart. And humility to see that it's not by might. It's not by who came first and who has what. It's by power, by grace, by supernatural sustenance of the Father. May this blessing be upon you. May you survive in the church. Survive in the ministry. Survive in his house. Survive through fire. Survive through lightnings and thunderings. Survive through crisis and trials. May you survive. May you be there when the storm is over. May you be smiling and shining more than ever before because of the blessing of the Lord. May the spirit of a novice, the spirit of pride, the condemnation of the devil be far from you. Matalo baka maramba. May you have a humble spirit. Pashumberekemala. And be able to stay humbly in his house, serving him all the days of your life. Father, may the children of this commission and the sons and daughters of the house, may they be blessed with your sustenance. May the blessing on this ministry, Lord, go upon the next generation and the generation after. May they be sustained, Lord. Sustained by the blessing that you yourself have chosen to place here. May he spread to over 192 countries, Lord. Mado Shandalaba. To fulfill the great commission. May the mission be finished and completed and blessed. Your feet are blessed. Your hands are blessed. And your lips are blessed. For they shall speak of great praises of the Father. For great things he has done, he has caused them to come to pass. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beautiful. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Ramabala, ribli blada blada bla. Palamada shindola makata. Glory to the Father. Thanks to Jesus. We give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed and be sustained. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.